Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Got him now, our good buddy Garrett Johnston on the horn with us. Sorry about the mix-up there, my friend, but we're glad that we were able to catch up with you, telling people about your new project, the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast. You've had some big names on, Tim Mickelson, Phil's brother and caddy, John Feinstein, Kevin Streelman, Brendan Todd. How's the new project going?
It's going really well. Good to talk with you guys. I think the most important person I've had on as it relates to this tournament, of course, Todd was in the mix, and he had that almost club throw. I asked him this morning, was it a club throw? He said, no, it was a fake club throw that everybody thought it cut away on the camera. So I confirmed that. But the most important person, I think, when it comes to major championships right now, who's trending, is got to be Xander Schauffele. And Xander's never finished, guys, worse than tied for sixth in a U.S. Open. His first ever was 2017 at Erin Hills. I remember I was out walking with him in the very first round that Thursday. It was him and Cameron Champ lighting up Erin Hills. He is built for majors, man. I mean, he was in the final group of the Tour Championship. He technically won the Tour Championship, if you will. Dustin, of course, wins the FedEx Cup. But he has the experience. When you look at that, just 2 weeks ago with BJ, the hottest player in the world, he was in the final pairing in a major, which is important for, I think, any resume, when he was with Jordan Spieth in 2018 at the Open Championship. So this is a guy that's been trending. I asked him on my pod, episode 9 of Beyond the Clubhouse, how hungry, Xander, are you for a major? He said he's very hungry, and it lights a fire under him when a kid like Colin Morikawa, playing in his second major, wins it. It's like, what are you going to do if you're the other players like Xander? So Xander's ready to go, guys. And I know he's not as hot of a name as Justin Thomas or as John Rahm or Dustin Johnson, but Xander, I think, is as ready as anybody to get that major championship.
Well, we'll get into the field and the leaderboard here a little bit deeper in just a moment. But first of all, we saw winged foot, 21 guys under par. Justin Thomas gets a U.S. Open winged foot scoring record. There are reports that the superintendent lost his stuff on the USGA tournament committee after round one. We saw the teeth of winged foot come back. The conditions also helped. Cooler. The wind kicked up. They let the greens get a little crusty there, as we're used to seeing in the U.S. Open. Which winged foot do we plan on seeing the rest of the weekend?
No, I think it's going to be the wing foot that asks a lot of the short game from these players. You know, I think the greens are going to continue to be fast. As we saw them in 2006, remember when Ogilvy won two chip-ins? Was it two chip-ins in the last three holes? 70th and the 70th and the 71st hole. So, yeah, you're going to have to see a player with on command on the short game. And when we look at that, that's my expectation, when we look at that among the players in the mix, of course Patrick Reed has been a guy I've seen him over the years, covered him for his hometown papers in the past, and he's a guy, when he practices, he's got this clock putting routine where he surrounds the hole and he hits it from different 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and he's obsessed with his short putts and with his short game. You just see him for hours out there chipping, and so it only makes sense, guys, that the last pairing, say what you want about their popularity, there's no fans there, it doesn't matter, but the last pairing is Patrick Reed, who is so into his short game and, you know, being on top of that, and then, of course, Bryson DeChambeau. His coach, Chris Como, one of his two coaches, Como has said in the past that Bryson is all about mental energy, expending mental energy, even during off weeks, about how can he get better. He's obsessed with getting better. We've seen him beef up and the protein shakes and all that. But the fact that these two guys are rewarded with the final pairing going into the U.S. Open Saturday, I think says a lot about their work ethic. They put in the time, guys, to be in this position.
Well, I would agree with you for sure on the quality of Patrick Reed's short game and also Justin Thomas, two of the best short game players in the game. Can Bryson DeChambeau, I think he got a little bit lucky yesterday recalibrating his wedges. Can he go out and muscle Wingfoot for two more rounds?
That's a good question. It'd be interesting. I was texting with Chris Como to try to understand what the game plan is, and he didn't want to reveal, understandably.
It's a math problem, isn't it?
It is a math problem. I think that the challenge for DeChambeau, I don't know if he can necessarily overpower it, but I think it is going to come down to being a numbers game. Can he put himself into position where he's got enough short clubs into these par fours? To the point where, okay, it's only a matter of getting enough birdie looks and he's going to be the guy to beat. You know, can it come down to that? Or will he be so far offline that he's going to make a double being in the rough and then all of a sudden he's chasing Reed or he's chasing the other guys, Shoffley or whoever ends up, having the lead when the day is done. But yeah, it's interesting. Bryson played pretty well on that Sunday at Harding Park. Remember, he had never really been a factor in major championships until Harding Park a month and a half ago. And there he was in the mix. He didn't quite deliver on the back nine. But, of course, who did? When you see Morikawa drive that par four and kind of, you know, jumped out from that group of seven guys at one point tied for the lead. So Bryson's tasted it. I think that will give Bryson what he needs, is that he's tasted it recently. It's not like he's coming in and he hadn't factored in the majors. No, he's been a factor as recently as the PGA, and I think that will be a crucial element to him trying to win his first major championship.
Garrett Johnston, our guest, the new project Beyond the Clubhouse podcast. You can follow that on Twitter at Beyond Clubhouse. Talking the U.S. Open here. So we've got six guys under par, another five at even par starting the day. Justin Thomas went out and shot that 65. Then he backed up. Rory McIlroy had a nice first round. He backed up. What is Saturday going to be about, other than a lot of focus on Reed and DeChambeau in that last group? But they're sitting there at even par. Brendan Todd, Matthew Wolf, Xander Schauffele. Bubba Watson had one of the few under par rounds yesterday to get the plus one. John Rahm is at plus one. They always call it moving day. Which way are guys you think going to move? Is it about how far you can move up or just not falling back?
I think it's the latter. I think it's not falling back. And you guys, I'm going to give you a throwback here, Ro. You mentioned Bubba Watson. Remember how high I was on Bubba Watson 6 years ago on this show when you had me on? He was just coming off the Masters. I thought, hey, maybe he gets the U.S. Open. Maybe, we saw the Triple Crown. Maybe we see four majors in a row. And he just struggled like hell at Pinehurst. He's not the right fit for U.S. Open, in my opinion. I don't think that Bubba's got the patience and the temperament for a win at the U.S. Open. I would say the same thing about Justin Thomas. I think Justin Thomas will eventually get a career Grand Slam, but the U.S. Open, I think, will prove to be the hardest one because of his temperament as well, and sometimes his lack of patience. As we've seen him struggle at the Memorial in a couple of years, 17 and 18, he struggled there when he had a chance to win. So when I look at those players you just mentioned, it's about staying in the mix. And I think John Rahm, I know he's got a temperament questions as well, but he's been trending really well recently. I like Rahm's chances. And also, of course, as I said, Xander, you mentioned a couple other players in there, right? Matthew Wolf. You want to talk about guys knocking on the door. I mentioned Bryson knocking on the door at the PGA Championship. That being crucial for Bryson's chances here a month later, massive finish for Matthew Wolf. Remember how he finished that PGA under pressure? Got up and down and finished out on 18, a must-make putt. And I think the way he played on that back nine, I think, will be crucial to his confidence. He knows in his holster that he's got that kind of experience, having played so well recently at a major. Wolf has looked great, guys. He looks fearless. And I think maybe he's not going to shoot 67, 66. We're not going to see those kinds of big numbers from those guys, those low numbers. But I think, as you said, Jason, will be the key for today.
Well, we are looking at a whole new crop of players who can win the U.S. Open, and I think we just lost two in Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, who have just for the second time missed the cuts together in 29 appearances in majors or more. It's sad to see that. Are you convinced that it's over for the two of them?
For U.S. Opens,
yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think so, because look at next year at Torrey Pines.
Okay.
Those guys are the kings of Torrey Pines, and I understand it's not going to be the same setup whatsoever that it is every year for the Farmers. But I think if you just look at that event, I think that will keep them in it. I mean, obviously, Phil needs to qualify, but he's been playing really well. On both tours, as we've seen. So, yeah, I think Torrey's right up Tiger's alley, and I think that would be such a story to see him back at it next year. I think that's going to be one of the most compelling majors to watch. But, yeah, these guys, I mean, Tiger, of course, has not been getting a ton of reps, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I think at Torrey Pines, it's going to be iconic. He's not going to be the defending champ, but we know that he's the guy that won it in 08 and how dramatic that was. I think for these next couple of years, I expect them to still be in the U.S. Open and part of the story.
Yeah, you look at the future sites, Torrey Pines next year, L.A. Country Club in 2023, and you wonder, certainly Tiger is going to want to hold on. 2027, it's back at Pebble Beach. I don't know if Phil can hold on for that long, but...
he'll try.
He'll try, yeah. And he will certainly try to qualify for that one. Courses they certainly know well. Now, Oakmont, Shinnecock Hills in between there could be interesting. But as we turn back to this U.S. Open, wrapping things up with Garrett Johnston here, do we expect to see the winner in red numbers, Patrick Reed at -4, Bryson DeChambeau -3, or is everybody, is Wingfoot just going to show its teeth? It's supposed to get cooler, not rain, but the wind is supposed to pick up. What do we think, expect the winning score to be around?
Yeah, I think what you just said with the wind picking up and then it cooler and then the greens, I think, too, just being going to be so difficult with these pin positions, I believe, once we get into Sunday. It's going to be about one under. I had predicted on Twitter, I had John Feinstein, the famous sports author, as we all know, have him on. He predicted it was between 5 and 10 under par to be the winning score. But, of course, that was when things started, and we knew that 13 under had won it last year for Gary Woodland. So for me, though, I had always said one under I really liked for Wingfoot because of how difficult those greens are. You mix it with the wind that we're expecting. So, and the pressure. You have to think about the pressure for some of these guys going for a first major, if it's Matthew Wolf, Bryson DeChambeau. You know, there's so many guys. Billy Horschel, if he can get up in that mix. He's got Justin Rose's caddy on the bag. You guys remember Fuchs, who won it there in 2013 with Rose. That's a huge factor. Horschel, of course, in 2013, he was in the mix. He was in that final group with Phil Mickelson. So that's big experience for him. So I think for these guys going for their first major, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them wins it. And I think the pressure of it is going to keep that number around one and two under.
And you, I'm assuming, based on what you've said, you'd like Xander Schauffele to get his first major here on Sunday?
I'd love to see it. I just think he's been knocking on the door, guys, and he's I asked him three or four different questions about majors, and you guys can listen to that podcast with Xander. He's so ready to win. I can't tell you. I mean, if he is pumped up, man, and he's ready for the big stages, and he's put in his time, I think. Guy's only 26 years old, but he's been on the big stages at a level that a lot of other 26-year-olds haven't. So I'm really expecting a lot from him and his caddy, Austin Kizer, this weekend.
Garrett Johnston, so glad we caught up with you. The new project, Beyond the Clubhouse podcast, off to a great start. Check it out. You can just link to it on Twitter, Beyond Clubhouse, and they're all right there. Take your time. Some of the biggest, bigger names in golf and some of the fun characters as well. We wish you the best of luck with it, and hopefully we can catch up with you soon.
Yeah, great stuff, guys. Great to catch up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.